Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the podcast, you lucky people. It is Wednesday,
show
the
ever.
4th.
An incredible show today.
Of August.
Get your ears around it, ladies and gentlemen.
We're in lockdown. There's no Eka. Mark Beretta live in Tokyo. That chat's coming up. He survived an earthquake.
You'd think we were living in a vacuum, but no, we brought the whole of the world to life today in
so many ways. Brought to life. Old people. We just gave them a bit of CPR, a bit of resuscitation. Jesus. They're getting out and doing stuff, Marto. It's incredible.
Some amazing news about Telstra payphones.
They still exist.
Apparently.
I thought they were just for ICs.
So much to look forward to as you get older.
All their dealers.
Like Viagra and stuff. It's just really spark things up.
Well, you're going to hear that coming up in the podcast, but let's kick it off with some allegations of poor behaviour by some of the Aussie athletes in the Olympic Village and on the plane home. Marto.
Eka might have been cancelled. I'll tell you, another thing that might be cancelled is the rugby sevens at the Olympics.
They've been
accused of some unacceptable behaviour. We touched on it briefly yesterday. The rowing, the Australian rowing team who won some medals, the Australian men's sevens team didn't win much at all. But then they got on it and they said, oh, you've left, there was some, well, they were answering the allegations because they said in their rooms, these are the cardboard rooms, of course, there were some holes left after a drinking session.
Not our prim and proper rugby union boys, Marto.
That's right. Private school boys, the rowers, and they've gotten on it. And then the guy who's the chef de mission, that Ian Chesterman, he's the chief of the mission. Why don't we just say chief of the mission? Why do we have to speak French? Anyway, he said, listen, it's not too bad.
Damage to a wall?
Yeah, there's a hole in the wall.
A wall, a door, someone threw up, the cleaners called in.
I love that he downplayed it. It's just a hole in
the wall. Well, you fix
deal.
It. This is
we'll
these
fix it.
Are rugby
players.
He went on to say, these are big people, and sometimes they get out of balance. I mean, and you've wait until your boys get to 16, 17. They love wrestling, and next thing you know, they're through the wall because the walls can't hold big people.
No. Like running straight challenge. Is that happening?
And also, the thing is, they're fit, so they're not piss fit. So they have two drinks, and next thing you know, they've fallen over into the wall or had a vomit. And that's okay.
Unfortunate set of circumstances.
Got worse, okay? So they've left the village, and they've left this trail of destruction behind them. But then they've hopped on the plane.
Oh, dear.
Rugby Australia is investigating allegations of bad behaviour from the Australian men's rugby sevens team on a rowdy flight home from the Tokyo Olympics. And also could land the Australian men's soccer team, the Oli Roos.
They've led them astray.
That's right.
Rugby union has led soccer astray. Right. Who would have thought it?
Listen to this. Sources say a number of players, these are rugby players, were heavily intoxicated and the vomit was left in a bathroom.
Oh, yuck.
Take it with you. Don't leave it in there. Now, and then what happened, the rugby boys.
Carry-on luggage. Can you just open the overhead luggage? I need to put my vomit bag in my bag, please.
Yes, I know. Take it home because it's COVID safe. It's extremely disappointing, but both rugby and soccer have told me that such behaviour is not acceptable. Mm. Yeah, the unacceptable behaviour. What's happened? The rugby boys were on it up the front of the plane. They went, oi, socceroos.
What's going on up there?
They brought them down to the rugby level because socceroo boys,
They let them through the business class curtain, did
and
they?
This is where the investigation.
Come on down.
I don't know. This is where, look. It is difficult, and this is where there'll be mudslinging between rugby and soccer as they both try
Whose
to go.
Fault?
There is some conjecture as to whether it was the rugby players or the soccer players who left vomit in the bathroom.
Ooh.
And that's the big one. We're going to have to sort that out.
You might need to do a CSI investigation, Marto.
Get me some, identify that, get me contents of every player's stomach and
tracing.
Go from there. And they've mopped it all up. They've hole in the wall. There's trouble all over the place.
Yeah, hostesses don't need to deal with that.
There's members of the shooting team, they say here, were not involved. Thank God. If they'd been drinking, there could have been real problem.
The Big Breakfast. Triple M.
I tell you what, we're talking about the Olympics being inspirational. Did you see Andrew Hoy at his 8th Olympics? We didn't talk too much about that yesterday. 62 years of age, he won a silver and a bronze medal. And I watched him. I'd have no interest whatsoever in equestrian. But my God, he was good. Those jumps are really, some of them are high, some of them were long. And he just kept it together, kept his legs. He didn't look like a person over the age of 40 or anything.
He was experienced, though. He had great experience under his belt.
And that's what oldies can give you. And let's not think, just because they're in aged care.
Are you saying that 62 is old?
Well, it's getting there, and that's the thing. We've got to respect that they can still do what they should.
At what age do you become old?
Ooh, it's relative in everyone's different perspective. Mm. If you're 8, 33 is old. If you're 25, 48 is old.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying old can be a large term, but aged care, you know that story we were playing earlier this morning, they're now emulating the Olympians.
If you've been inspired by our Olympians, you're not the only one.
And off they go.
From spectators to athletes, aged care residents across Australia and New Zealand are going for gold.
They're cycling, they're swimming, they're walking, they're doing all sorts of
good
things.
Good on them. Keeping them young, I say.
That's
give
right.
them something to do.
And that's what happens with oldies. Let's respect your elders. That's what a proper society does. But quite simply, if you've got a 78-year-old who's still riding his pushy around, if you've got a 90-year-old bloke who you know is on the roof, and we've spoken about this before, granddad climbs up on the roof, he fixed the roof the other day. How
now
old?
Mowing his own lawn still, perhaps.
At what? At 94, mowing your own lawn? What about if you've got an 83-year-old who's working on a trawler? Like any of these sort of things. Let's talk about oldies. What is your oldie up to? Because Andrew Hoy, that's overachieving.
Could be an 82-year-old widower who's still out picking up the chicky babes.
Is there
down
an
at
example?
The lawn bowls.
Oh, geez, Viagra's got a lot to answer for, hasn't it? So if you've got an oldie, you've got your granddad, your auntie, your uncle who's doing extraordinary things that we need to hear about, 133353. Have a look at Deanne from Fernie Hills. My father-in-law is 84 and is working at Macca's.
What?
He does a bit of cleaning and fills up all the straws and sugar.
Good on him.
Oh, that's tremendous.
You've got to stay young, otherwise they sit and they just end up staring at a wall and
that's right.
willing their life away. Roland from Tingalpa.
Hey,
hey yeah. Roland, have you got an overachieving oldie?
Oh, me. I'm 54 and a fourth-year refrigeration apprentice.
Change of career path, Roland.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah.
What did you get fed up doing after all those years that you turned your life around to become a refrigeration mechanic?
People saying, who's going to hire you at 50 type of thing, things like that. And I had a friend working for the Advanced Air Conditioning who I worked for and got me in as a TA and proved how I could work. And then they offered me an apprenticeship and I took it.
Right, Roland, I didn't start my carpentry till I was 5 or 6. And I thought that was weird sitting at TAFE with 16 and 17-year-olds. How do you go at TAFE?
It's very daunting for me. My wife hates it. I stress so much. But the fellas there are really good. They actually get on really well. And the teachers actually are proud of me trying to do something at this age.
I'm proud of you, Roland. I think that's incredible. You know, like there's no point in just giving up.
Why doesn't everyone do that? They say that if over 50 you lose your job, there's just no future for you. And Roland's decided to turn that on its head because there's jobs out there.
Good on you, Roland.
There's jobs
everywhere.
Have we got
Micah?
Yeah.
Micah from Chapel Hill. Good morning.
Yeah, good. Good morning, Margot.
Good. Have you got an achieving oldie in your life?
Yeah, my old man, Wesley. He does 200 push-ups a day and he's 77.
Why does he do 200 push-ups a day? That's a hell of an effort.
He's a mad dog. What was it? Mad dog's an Englishman. Mad dog's an Englishman, that's how you put it.
Righto. He's just
incredible.
Pommy, mate. He's an old Pommy and he's just so determined, you know?
Did he build up to the 200 a day?
No, he's always kept it at that level.
He's always just been fit.
What does he wear to do his push-ups? Is he in a white
singlet?
I've just closed my eyes and see him in a white singlet.
All the trucker blue, you know.
Yeah, Marto, do you reckon you could do 200 push-ups?
How many hours in the day? You'd have to give me a while.
You do them split over 20 reps.
That's a bloody good concept, though.
That's incredible.
These are oldies getting into stuff. Dan from Capalaba, are you getting an oldie? You doing stuff?
Yeah. My dad is 86. He's ex-National Service, done his bit for Australia. He's a full-time carer for my mum.
Wow.
And he still does security at Suncorp Stadium during all the footy games and the events.
Hold on.
He's dealing with all those Muppets.
What happens if there's a stink between some drunk, tattooed young men? What does he do, talk them down?
He actually had got beat up once by a guy, but he still... Yeah, he still packs a punch.
Yeah, ex-defence force, did you say, Dan?
When's the last time he would have punched a bloke?
Probably about
probably 3-4 months ago, I suppose.
Wow. Tell him we're pretty
happy. Just alone is a feat in itself at 86. That is so much. Louis, what about Peter from Narangba? Peter's 60 and still riding dirt bikes. 0484101045 is our burner.
What about Louise from Logan Village? Her mum's 70, went skydiving.
Oh, incredible. Oh, father-in-law, 82, yeah. Paul from West End. He's a PT at the gym.
What?
Brett from Manly. His neighbour Ernie is 94-year-old and still does all his gardening and lawns himself.
Oh, he's just a scab.
Incredible.
Yeah. Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Well, Marto, sad news. Yesterday we heard not only that the lockdown would be extended beyond the 3 days till Sunday the August 8th, but that the Echo was going to be cancelled.
Clearing, carrying and craning away. A month set up with no reward.
With no money and no income, it's been a very, very sad couple of days.
Second year running, the Ekka being cancelled. Terribly sad for everyone involved. I mean, they've been bumping in for months, Marto, and getting this ready. It's a big stage,
the
you know.
The Ferris wheel was built. All the rides were ready to go. They had all the toys ready to give away.
Everything. And, you know, there were lots of people disappointed by this, and they're facing some huge losses.
In the show bag tent, mountains of stuffed toys bagged, thousands of chocolates and lollies boxed up, and sellers worried.
We're talking about over $1 million of stock there that needs to find a home pretty quickly.
Show bags.
I mean, my family, we go every year. This would have been our sixth year in a row that we were going to attend. The kids absolutely love it. We get on the train. Yeah. We go in. We buy our family passes. They save money for show bags. We go on all the rides. We see the baby animals. It's a great family day out, and it's going to be a huge
loss.
Where
city kids learn about the bush. That's how it started, and all the rest of it's all just fun.
Yeah, but have no fear.
What?
If show bags is what you want, you can still get them.
They need your support. The Bertie Beetle chocolate and many more will be sold online.
Which is showbagshop.com.au.
Oh, my God. Righto, yeah. There's an option. But what happens to the strawberry sundaes? Because they would have had them ready to roll, and the Dagwood dogs and things like that.
Well, they're saying that depending on whether this lockdown, the current one that we're finding, if they extend out beyond that, then they won't be able to. But they might be able to. Last year, they had some takeaway where you could line up and get your strawberry sundaes to take away, Marto. So they might look into that. But
this bloke might know more. Jesse, the Dagwood dog guy, is on the line. Hi, Jesse.
G'day.
I've got your sticker on the back of my car, actually. Hey, so were you going to get involved? Because you sold Dagwood dogs out of the back of your truck out near Nathan. Where were you last year? Parkinson or somewhere, weren't you?
Oh, I've been here, there and everywhere. We started over at Doolandella.
Were you supposed to be at the Ekka?
We were in the Ekka. We've done a full setup. So we've been setting up for about 3 weeks. Ordered 1,000 kilos of frankfurts just for the first weekend.
1,000 kilos of frankfurts.
How many is that?
Too many.
Good. Yeah, righto.
Incredible.
That's what them jelly beans are when you're trying to guess.
Okay.
Jesse, how disappointed were you when you heard that for the second year in a row the Ekka was going to be cancelled?
It just sort of ripped your heart out. You know, you put all your eggs into one basket for this great event that the state puts on and brings the whole city together, and just to have a lockdown like this come along, and then you got to drive in there and you pack it all up, and you outlay everything you've got, you know, setting up for it, your staff's wages, and
How many staff would you have had? You would have had all these casuals were going to work, and they would have been excited at making a few $100.
Exactly, I had 4 permanent staff that I've been paying, you know, leading into it, and you know, for the pack down, and then another 8 casuals lined up that would have helped work the Ekka as well. So.
Yeah.
You know, we're all out of work at the moment.
Jesse, where can we come and find you? If somebody wants to get, once we get out of, you know, this lockdown that we're in at the moment, where can we find you to come? Will you be setting up somewhere?
Well, we're going to be setting up somewhere. We're just waiting for this first lockdown to see what the outcome is. And we're going to be setting up around Brisbane. Got to get on our Facebook page, the Dagwood Dog Guy. And we'll be popping up around Brisbane to try and bring a bit of Ekka to individuals around the Ekka suburbs.
Yeah. Well, all the best, Jesse. Hopefully we don't go into further lockdown.
Jesse, what about the, well, you're the one of the iconic food stuffs. The other one's the strawberry sundaes. Do you speak to those guys as well? What are they going to do?
Yeah, so we've had a chat to the guys at the R&A, and hopefully we can work together, and there might be an opportunity where we could do a little pop-up Dagwood Dog Guy stand and get your strawberry sundaes and a show bag all in one.
Oh, I hope so.
Keep
mate.
Supporting those because, you know, Jesse is a small business himself and, you know, we just got to continue to keep supporting them. There has been suggestion, Marto, yeah. that if you had pre-purchased tickets to the Ecker, maybe you could just donate them.
The RNA says it's been heartened by the generosity of some people Good offering one. To donate the full value of their ticket towards next year's show.
Yeah. That's Keep those one. Small businesses afloat because the Ecker has been hit really hard. A lot of the primary producers coming from regional towns, you know, for the second year have had to cancel that sort of thing. But I want to know what's going to happen to the public holiday because us in Logan, we got to the public holiday on the Monday.
What, Monday coming up?
Brisbane here, it's supposed to be on the Wednesday.
As for next Wednesday's show holiday.
I can cancel a public holiday, but we need legislative change to reappoint another day. Mm.
The state government is considering moving it to a Friday to create a long weekend.
All right, this is the surest sign that this lockdown is going to go longer. Otherwise, they would have said, okay, it's going to be Friday week. Yep.
So maybe maybe that could be our reward out the other side of this. Maybe they could combine the Logan and the Brisbane and Ipswich public holidays and give us a five-day weekend. We could have the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday off after we come down of lockdown to put money back into the economy and get people out and about again.
So, the lockdown's not enough for you for no one to be working. You want some more.
No, I'm just saying.
When we come out of lockdown, let's have a holiday.
Give more people time to go out and spend money in the economy because everybody's been locked down for 2 weeks. Potentially.
But they're not making any money like last time, remember?
It's a great plan, Margo.
I'm voting for
it. A few of the edges just smoothed off.
The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Oh, I don't know if it's day one, day two, or day three for you, but I am currently in day three of lockdown learning.
From Karina.
I'm Cleo in grade 9 at Lewis Hill College.
To Abby and Evie from Ithaca Creek.
So thumbs up for homeschooling, guys.
This is learning in lockdown.
Learning in lockdown. Yeah. Lots of enthusiastic kiddies out there who are like, yes, I don't have to go to school.
Oh, yeah. What are you missing most about school?
I'm playing with my friends.
It's just much funner.
Much funner.
It has run much more smoothly. But the thing I probably miss the most about school is my teacher and my friends. But hopefully we'll be back to school soon.
I wanted some kid to say the tuck shop. Mum's cooking stuffed.
Well, I thought based off that, you know, these kids missing their kids and their friends and their teachers, I asked my kids what they like about being at home.
Hi, I'm Memphis and I'm in grade 6. The thing that I like about homeschooling is that it goes really quick. And the thing that I don't like is I have to see my siblings.
Hold on, it goes quick. Didn't your husband call it off on Monday?
We've officially given
up. That's quick. Student-free day.
Monday was a mental health day. I think that was more a mental health day for him.
How was yesterday?
Day two, Marto, I was doing fractions, improper fractions, complex fractions, the simplification of simplifying fractions. I mean, Google is very, very convenient.
Oh, okay.
When your daughter comes to you and says, Mum, how do I add? Can you help me with adding these fractions? I'm like, Google.
I won't embarrass you on air. I was going to ask you a question.
No, don't, please. Memphis, obviously, not loving the whole having to hang out with your siblings all day. Wonder how Jagger felt about that.
Hi, I'm Jagger from 2C, and I like about homeschooling that I don't have to get dressed, and I hate about homeschooling that I have to do homework.
Have to do the homework.
Why do you have your homework?
Well, it's
You're already home.
It's school work at home, so technically it's homework. You've got to do it all day. And my kids are in one of those schools where they give you the link to Zoom in. The bigger kids have to log in on Teams. They've got to be there at 8:30, 10:30, 12:30, and 2:30. They've got to check in. Yep, to do face-to-face learning with the teacher. And then in between those times, they have a little activity sheet that they've got to go and do. There's been a little bit of bludging happening in the household of the Parkers. Good. I think the 2:30 session got dropped by everybody because I was like, you know what, we've done enough today. It's time to go out, do some HPE, some sport, do some trampolining, do some soccer. Mummy's got to go and catch up on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's correct. I didn't realise that's what you were doing. But that's real. Like what they show you on telly, they're the perfect children, perfect Karens and everything else, all the mums who are perfect. Get real about this. Most people were just sending the kids outside most of the day, surely.
Yeah, and then, Marto, I heard...
They had to work.
People have to work, like me, and I heard this.
Schools are open for children of essential workers.
What? Nurses, doctors, police, paramedics.
radio announcers. I mean, look, we are essential. I could be sending my kids to school. Why am I doing home learning with them?
Because you've got a husband who's at home and only works on weekends.
I don't have a husband. I don't want to talk about
it. Single mum. All right. Well, send him to school then. Can we find out the truth?
I want to find out what's going on at homeschooling. 133353.
What are you doing?
Got a bit of a prep mum's thread that's happening at the moment. Like, how are you managing? How are you filling in the time?
What are they
saying? Some like the Gestapo Nazi mums who are like, we've got a timetable. Mm. We're sticking to it. This what time we do this. This is morning tea. We've got 20 minutes of reading. Yeah, and then there's other mums are like, oh, I had a wine at 11:30.
Yeah, and their kids will start drinking beer at 14 and a half, 15, where the other ones will wait until 18.
I just want to do a check-in, mums and dads who are homeschooling at home. 133353 or text us on the burner phone. Harley from Flinders View. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. How's the homeschooling going in your house? What approach are you taking?
I'm one of those mums that are failing at it as well. I've got three children, so one in year six, one in year four, and one in year one. And those year six fractions, I tell you, they are a disaster
There's a reason you didn't become a teacher. Yeah.
I'm working from home as well, and we were fighting over whose turn it was to use the computer. We've got a computer, an iPad, and a phone, and we're all just switching through it, and oh my gosh, it's a disaster.
Imagine, you're trying to work. How hard is that? How hard is it for you? You've got to put food on the table by working, and then you've got to look after these kids. What about if I said to you the schools, they already have, what, 10 to 12 to 14 weeks a year off holidays. Just give them, this is a holiday week.
Do you know what, Kylie, would come in really handy? Yesterday we were doing shout-outs for Small Business Mart, and a lot of them doing deliveries, coffee, bread, milk. We need wine. We need a delivery service that delivers wine or gin. I mean, look, I'm not fussy. I'll take
after
tequila.
10, keep it classy after 10 a.m.
Deliveries of alcohol. Jason from Moorumba Downs, are you doing homeschooling?
Yes, we are, as well as working from home.
All right, I'm sort of
essential worker, but I work from home to give office space for other guys at work. But it's just a model. My young fella's in grade four, and some of his attachments aren't coming up on his iPad. I've got a 15-year-old who's doing trade college over at Scarborough. He's at home. Mm. His stuff's not coming through. Mum's got Teams meetings. I got Teams meetings. We're both trying to juggle the sitting down with the kids and helping them. And it's just, it's last night we were biting each other's head off. She was up to 11:30 last night trying to sort the iPad. I gave up at 9:30. That was it for me.
The news on Sunday that, it was only going to be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday lockdown, like 2 days worth of school work, Monday, Tuesday, fine, can handle it.
Well, you took one of them off.
Then we found out on Monday it was going to be extended to Sunday, so a full week. Now there's talk that's possibly going to be extended again, Jason. How do you think your household's going to end up by the end of week two homeschooling?
Monday, they had the day off. I went in, picked his iPad up. Tuesday, bang, let's start schoolwork. But half the work they're sending is not getting through to us. iPads are collapsing, all that sort of thing. Another week, maybe by the end of the lockdown, we're probably just starting to get the hang of it and get into a routine and they'll be back to school.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, it's so hard.
Don't stress, don't you reckon, Jason?
Yeah, I said that to my missus. I said, darling, let's just do what we can and just get through it.
Yeah. Hey, listen to this one. This has got your own unique problems. Kim from Inala, what's your story with the homeschooling?
we don't have kids. We have our grandson that we're homeschooling.
Mm.
So, we've done the schooling with our kids. So we've got grandson that we're homeschooling. This is our first COVID homeschooling. So we're learning. This is an experience for us.
How old is the kid?
He's 10, so he's in grade 5. Mm. So we have computers, like we've got to get on the internet and all that. We run a business from home as well, so we're fighting with the computer with us and with him. We've just moved house on top of it all, so we're in the middle of moving house and homeschooling. I don't drink, but I can tell you I'm just about ready to start drinking.
Just take it up. Kim, I have also a 10-year-old. Is it a boy?
A boy.
Yeah, very short focused, aren't they, 10-year-old boys?
And you know what? I know everything. And because it's all technology, I know technology. I don't know anything about technology. I'm horrible with technology. My hubby knows all technology stuff, so that's really good. But the whole homeschooling, it's just like what the hell? You know, the stuff they print out for these kids to do, it's just like, what the hell? Like, I don't even understand it. So how do they understand it? It's full on.
I have a 10-year-old who's all of a sudden very forgetful. He's like, Mom, I'm all done. I've done my activity sheet. Can I go and play now?
What's he forgotten?
And I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries, mate. Show me your activity sheet. And I'm like, did you do this? And what's that bit there? He's like, oh, I forgot to do that.
Forgot.
I'm like, get back in there and do it. And then at one point I'm just like, oh, who cares? Let's just
you learn everything go after outside you leave and school, play, don't you?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
And now we go straight to Tokyo. Mark Beretta from Channel 7. God, you've been looking good on the screen, mate. How are you?
Legend. How are you? Kim, good?
Hey, listen, earthquake this morning. We've just been hearing about this in the last hour. Were you involved? Did you feel it?
Very involved. I like to get involved in the story. It was unreal. I've never been through one before. We were just about to go to air, and I looked up at Chris, our camo, and above him the roof was moving about a foot backwards and forwards. And then I noticed the lights started to sway together back and forth, and I thought, this is weird. And then I thought, crikey, it's an earthquake. And it lasted probably for about a minute. It was a 5.8, apparently, which is centered in Fukushima. I have not been through one before, but I guarantee you, if you're in a 5.8 earthquake, you will know about it. It happens. And they're used to it here, you know, they just rock on.
Any damage?
No, not that we can see. Mm. And no big reaction here. There's a few sirens afterwards, but nothing. It doesn't appear as though anything or anyone's too troubled by it.
Are there earthquake-specific rules? Like, let's say tonight, Peter Bowles running in the 800 metres and there's an earthquake. Would any athlete stop? Is there a provision to, wait, they stop, we'll have another go when this rumbling finishes?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think they've ever had to deal with it or make a plan for it. I guess maybe it's a restart, maybe it's a re-race. I don't know. Maybe hopefully we won't find out tonight. But look, I'll look into that and come back to you.
Thanks, mate. Well, hey, listen, what time is that on 7 tonight, Peter Bowl? Because that's probably the biggest thing of the day.
Yeah, no, it'll be a crack. It'll be after news tonight. And, it's a must-see. It'll be later on tonight. But he is such a good thing, 27-year-old. Sudanese refugee, came to Australia. I love the school coach at the school sports. Said to him, listen, I reckon you can run. Why don't you, go down the running club and have a bit of a go? And next thing, not next thing, but a few years down the track, he's at the Olympics and fingers crossed he's going to win a gold medal in the men's 1800 metres. First Australian we've had, hopefully, for gold medal since Mexico City in 1968. So bring it on.
We've still got plenty of Australian names floating around in the events that are coming up. We've got that Oceana McKenzie, which is that sports climbing. It's incredible. They are so quick. But we've got the Opals and the Boomers still yet to come. And Genevieve Gregson, of course, our local JPC girl down here in Brisbane, 3,000 metre steeplechase. So still plenty of action to catch, Mark.
Oh, very much so. And remember, our Kookaburras went through beautifully into the semi-finals, the finals now of hockey. They were brilliant last night with a 3-1 win over Germany. So they've knocked off Netherlands in their last game. Germany in the houses of world hockey. They've steamrolled now. So, they're looking a really good thing for a gold medal. And basketball as well. How's that? Our two Australian teams will both face the United States in the men's and women's semis. You get past the United States and life's pretty good. And imagine if we could knock off both the American teams in the basketball competition here in Tokyo. That would be awesome.
Now, you guys talk about the leaderboard. We're fourth on the gold medal tally ahead of Russia. Now, we've got another, not quite a week to go. What are their prospects over the next week looking like compared to ours, knowing there's not too many water sports that we can score from? Will we end up in fourth or will we come eighth? Or what's the story?
We're probably a really good thing for fourth. That's not bad at all. The Russians will pick up a bit in track and field. Oh. We'll do well in sailing from here on in. And hopefully our team sports. If we could get the Opals up there, if we could get the Boomers up there, if we could get the Kookaburras there, that'll help.
We've got
some more good chances in cycling as well. So we're good. Diving, yep.
We're not very good
at
diving, are we?
Didn't sound very confident, did you,
Brett? No, I think the Russians might have us pegged there.
No, mate. Well, a lot of us are watching all day in lockdown, so we'll enjoy, mate. Keep up the good work.
Good on you guys. Thanks for the chat. Talk soon.
Triple M.
Welcome. Hope you're enjoying the Big Breakfast.
Yeah, you can call us anytime, 133353. We've had a phone call come through from Lloyd at Redcliffe with some traffic motto. Okay. A ute has lost a ladder, middle lane on the M1 southbound just there at Yatala. be wary, slow down, and try and avoid that bit of congestion there.
Hey, I never thought I'd hear myself say, good on you, Telstra.
Calls within Australia from payphones are now free of charge.
Being connected to loved ones and being connected to people that can help has never been more important.
Yeah, nice idea.
It is being connected.
Throwing it all open. All their 15,000 payphones around Australia are no longer payphones. They're just phones where you can dial up only within Australia, not international.
What was the cost? Was it like 70 cents or a dollar or something? Because I remember it was like 20 cents and you used to go, give you 20 cents to tell someone who cares.
Well, that's where it came from. And then I think it went to 30, but then we all got mobile phones and no one knows anymore, especially like this lady's kid.
My daughter just asked me the other day, what are they?
I don't really use phone booths.
I've got a mobile.
Yeah, and that's the attitude. What do I need them for?
I haven't used a phone booth for years.
We got one over the road from here, in front of all the backpacker places up here at the top end of Caxton Street. There's one, I can see one where I'm sitting right now. I know where there's two in our little suburb. And
there was an early morning creature on one of them this morning when I drove up here. Roma Street just across the road there. And I don't know who he was talking to.
Exactly. Who Someone was on the phone at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Who are they talking to? Maybe their mother. Maybe, well, it came in yesterday, so it's a free call. I don't know. But here's some stats.
In the past 12 months, more than 11 million calls were made from payphones. Almost a quarter of a million connected to emergency services.
Okay.
I'm in a hurry. Or my mobile's gone flat.
It's gone flat.
And
can't
you think,
find it.
How much is this costing Telstra, this enormous telecommunications company? How much is they do? Are they doing this? You know, why are they doing this?
Why are they doing it?
Well, because they're not making much money.
The move will cost Telstra $5 million in lost revenue.
Like, they spill that every year, Telstra.
Yeah, but it's money that they're not making anyway, isn't it?
And it's a beautiful idea. Like, I love it. If someone's, you run out of your mobile.
Yeah.
Actually, no, hold on. Who knows any phone numbers? If your mobile's flat or if you're an IC, you can't remember any numbers. Who's ringing who? Like, where?
Well, they could ring us, Marto, because they would remember the number 133353.
Apart from that. And here's the other big kicker. Free calls are limited to 6 hours per call.
Oh, geez, 6 hours. That's a bit stiff, isn't it?
If you're ringing...
Who's on the phone for 6 hours?
What are those phone sex numbers? They're $3 a minute.
That's an expensive call.
Yes, that's about $800. I don't know. They'll rethink it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, we're seeing our athletes starting to return home from the Olympics. A few of them up there in Howard Springs.
Doesn't
for
look
two
too
weeks
glamorous.
Quarantine.
Like you win a gold medal and hello.
Yeah.
Welcome to Howard Springs.
Welcome to your new life after the Olympics.
Oh, God.
But one of the athletes.
I remember when they used to go to Las Vegas.
And just
like
party.
Fair dinkum, after they'd win a gold medal, they'd go, well, I don't have to train for a while. I'm off to Vegas. Now
See ya.
It's Howard Springs.
One of the athletes that finds himself in there is our BMXer. Bandit from down Logan Way. We've been speaking with his uncle, very proud. Logan Martin got the gold medal in the BMX. Our first ever Olympian to win a gold medal wearing black skinny jeans, Marto.
It's incredible. Spent 70 grand in his backyard. We've spoken about him. What an inspiration. A great young man, married with a young kid.
Well, you speak of inspiration and you wonder, what's the inspiration for his name?
I was born in Logan City. I was born in Logan Hospital. My parents were unsure what to call me, so Logan it was.
Logan it was.
Fabulous.
Had I been renamed appropriately as Logan Martin's parents did, it would have been Marta, would be my name.
Marta Hospital.
Marta Hospital.
Yes.
Brisbane.
Royal.
Brisbane Marta Margot Parker. But no, you know, you get to thinking about names and suburbs, and Logan, we did laugh, is from Logan.
Logan from Logan.
Logan from Logan.
If he was on our phone board when he rings in, it'd be Logan from Logan.
Logan from Logan.
It's beautiful.
133353. We've done it before. It's time to do it again. Is your name your suburb?
Is this when Jim from Jim Boomba rings us
we
up?
We do have a Jim.
133353
from Jim Boomba.
Jim.
Yes. And so I thought we'd throw it out there, see if there's any new listeners to Triple M who have their name in their suburb.
Would this be Ron who lives at Kedron? Would this be
Callum from Callum Vale?
Ken from Kenmore?
It could be 133353.
Hello, is that Cynthia from Cinnamon Park? Yes, Sin.
0484101045. Text us on the burner phone if your name is in your suburb. Jim from Jim Boomba, who's one of our listeners, and he's called through. Jim, good morning.
Yeah,
good, mate.
We love talking to you simply because you're Jim from Jim Boomba. We don't know much else about you, but we don't have to know anything, do we?
There's not a lot to know, mate.
Yeah. Jim, did Jim come before Jim Boomer? Like, were you born in Jim Boomer and that's how you got the name Jim, or did you move to Jim Boomer?
Yeah, I moved to Jim Boomer.
Okay. Did you find it, you know, funny that your name was Jim and you were going to be moving and living in Jim Boomer?
I didn't think much of it until I actually moved here and I went to work and, yeah, one of the guys was okay. Jimmy from Jim Boomer, and that was it.
Wonderful. What
a great chat. Do people like to have fun with it?
What a great chat we've just had with Jim from Jim Boomer. If you're Karen from Carindale, we could have such a good chat with you as well. If you're Sam from Sanford, if you're Glenn from Glen Eagle, give us, have you got any prizes we
what
can bribe?
What about Gary from Burp and Gary?
Hold it. Is that you, Callum, from Callum Vale?
Yeah, mate, how are you?
Yeah, nice.
Callum, is there like some sort of, you know, like smugness about the fact that you are Callum from Callum Vale? Like, is that what you lead in when introducing yourself to people? Hello, I'm Callum from Callum Vale.
I don't really do it myself, but I reckon it's my old man's favourite drinking hole, the Callum Vale Hotel in
Is that where you got the inspiration for your name? Is that why your dad called you Callum?
I'd say so, I think.
Hey, mate. That's it. Hey, Callum, have you seen the ad on TV with Callum Murray when they're thinking of their name for their child? Callum Murray.
No? No, mate, never seen it. Never copped anything about it.
Okay, Matt. Well, you have, that means. Okay. See, I knew there was nothing more to talk to them about.
Dad's favourite watering hole, the Callum Vale Hotel, created an inspiration for Callum's name. The
problem is, so everyone driving in now, you must realise we've got a screen in front of us with people's name, just your first name and your suburb, so we can say hello to Gary from... Is that Gary from Burp and Gary, or is that piss take?
There is a Gary from Burp and Gary. Oh, I think he's just on hold. Bo from Bo Desert, though, is called through. G'day, Bo.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Honoured to be named after the great town of Bo Desert.
Yeah, I didn't pick it. He picked me.
Oh, no. Hold on. So were you born in Bowie?
No, I moved out there a few years ago.
When you were looking, you know, at the suburbs and the perimeter of your preference, did you see Bo Desert and went, oh, that'd be funny?
Do I live at Yarrabilba or do I live at Bo Desert?
Bo from Bo Desert would sound way much better.
Yeah, nah, I didn't do it by choice. It's just how it worked out.
Okay. This is a lot of fun. Can we get the whiteboard that says we will never talk about this on radio?
I think
radio?
I'm having more fun than anyone. What about Sunny from Sunnybank texts through on the
Well, what about he rings burner? Us and we go, how long you lived in Sunnybank, Sunny?
I think Calvin might have missed the point.
Worst phone topic
Calvin
ever.
From Kelvin Grove? Not quite.
I'm going to give Callum tickets to go see Liam Neeson in the action blockbuster Ice Road in cinemas August 12.
Woohoo!
Yeah, okay. Now listen, let's push on. Let's do a bit of traffic,
be
a bit of news. Let's regather.
It's lockdown. It's loose. It's lonely.
Hello, everyone.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town. Triple M.